by and large, naturally, most of us are pretty selfish. The thing is that selfishness is an attribute we most often see in other people, not ourselves. So self is like an opaque veil that shrouds our hearts. The question is, what can you do about it? I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to the program today as we kick off a new series of messages called How to Get Over Yourself and Live a Life That Counts. I'm really excited today because we're kicking off a new series or theme, if you like, for our programs over the next couple of weeks. And this is what I've called it, How to Get Over Yourself and Live a Life That Counts. It's a bit of a mouthful, but as I was praying about what to share with you over these coming weeks, the Lord really laid it on my heart that more and more in this world, we're being taught to be individuals rather than community. And that focus on self, it just contributes to something that each of us already has going on inside us, selfishness. A natural part of who you and I are is that we like to look after ourselves. Now, there are the primary instincts, enough air, enough water and food and shelter and safety. But once we get beyond those, we can become focused on our comfort and prestige and power and what other people think of us and getting our own way. And before we know it, we become our own little tyrant, our own little tin pot god whom we worship and whose appetite for more can never be satisfied. And what makes this even worse, what makes our pride even more ugly, is that we only ever think of other people as being proud and selfish, never ourselves. It seems that the veil of self over our hearts is opaque, hard, brittle, painful, yes, but something that we can't easily see for ourselves. For much of my life, the natural beat of my heart was constrained by this veil of self. I was very much my own tin pot little god, and my appetite for recognition and wealth and winning could never be satisfied. I was touchy and sensitive. I was overly, unhealthily concerned with what other people thought of me. I had almost no close relationships because myself, my pride and arrogance and haughtiness, squashed them. And whilst back then I didn't really know it, the biggest thing I needed to be set free from was me. And that's exactly what God did. Now, it's a work in progress. Haven't arrived yet. I don't think any of us can say that we're never selfish and never proud. Nevertheless, God did a mighty work in me. Just after I gave my life to Christ a decade and a half ago, a dear woman in her 70s back then gave me a book. It was the very first book I ever read as a Christian. And looking back now with the benefit of 20/20 hindsight, it was absolutely the best book I could ever have read. It's called The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. And it was something that he wrote about this issue of self that God used to begin his mighty work of freedom in my life. Now, I've paraphrased some of the words of Tozer on self to bring them into today's language, but let me share them with you because they are powerful indeed. Have a listen. Self, writes Tozer, is the opaque veil that hides the face of God from us. It can only be removed in spiritual experience, never by mere instruction. You can't instruct leprosy out of your system, can you? No, there has to be a healing. And it's the same with the insidious disease of self. There must be a work of God in destruction before we are free. We must invite the cross of Christ to do its deadly work within us. We must bring our self-sins to the cross for judgment. We must prepare ourselves for an ordeal of suffering in some measure like that through which our Saviour passed when he suffered under Pilate. Because remember, when we talk of removing the veil of self that shrouds our hearts, we're using a picture. And though that picture may seem almost poetical, almost pleasant, actually there's nothing pleasant about it at all. In human experience, that veil is made of living spiritual tissue. It is composed of the sentient, quivering stuff of which our very beings consist. And to touch it is to touch us where we feel pain. To tear it away is to injure us, to hurt us, and to make us bleed. To say otherwise is to make the cross no cross at all, and the death no death at all. It's never fun to die. To rip through the dear and tender stuff of which life is made can never be anything but deeply painful. Yet that is what the cross did to Jesus, and it is what the cross would do to every man, woman, and child to set them free. I want to warn you, writes Tozer, to beware of tinkering around the edges of your inner life in some vain hope that you yourself can remove the veil. That just doesn't work. God must do everything for us. Our part is to yield and to trust. Our part is to confess, forsake, repudiate the self-life, and then to count it as crucified. But be careful to distinguish between a mere lazy acceptance from the real work of God. We must insist upon the work of the cross being done in us. We dare not rest content with a neat little doctrine of self-crucifixion. No. Insist that the work of the cross be done in you, and it will be done. The cross is rough and it's deadly, but it's effective. It does not keep its victim hanging there forever. There comes a moment when its work is finished and the suffering victim dies. After that is resurrection, glory, and power. The pain is forgotten for the joy that the veil is taken away, and we have entered in actual experience the presence of the living God. Isn't that powerful stuff? And through those words, I believe that God puts his finger on our self-life, yours and mine. Listen again to Paul's words, the Apostle Paul, God's own word on the death of self and the resurrection to our new life that God's planned for us from Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Don't you know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in a newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of our sin may be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is free from sin. But if we've died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over us. See, God wants us to die to self and rise again to a new life, a life of freedom in Christ. And it's in that sense that the title or the theme of this series of programs is absolutely true. We desperately need to get over ourselves so we can live a life that really counts. Because let me tell you, from first-hand experience, and I have to tell you, I'm a past master on self and pride and arrogance, that the veil of self that hangs over our hearts really does obscure God. And not only God, but life, vibrant, fresh, and wonderful life. How can we have such a life? The life that, after all, we want for ourselves, when we're busy stomping on other people, when we're getting our own way, when we're so worried about what other people think, and when we spend most of our time being annoyed at other people because they don't do what we want them to. How can we have such a fresh, vibrant, new resurrection life that Jesus came to give us when we're so wrapped up in ourselves? Come on, how can we? Let me get right in your face with the word of God. We can only have the life that Jesus came to give us if we would take ourself to the cross, the old person, the old flesh, and die to self as Christ died for our sins. That's exactly what God's word says. I truly encourage you to take God's word to heart today. And to help you, here at Christianity Works, we've produced 10 messages in this latest series called How to Get Over Yourself and Live a Life That Counts. We all want to live a life that counts, right? A life that has an impact, that makes a difference. Well, that's what this series is all about. And you can listen to each of the messages right now at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see today's radio message right there on the homepage. You can stream the messages, download the audio or the transcript, even subscribe to the podcast. Just recently, we received an email from Janet. This is what she wrote. I was abused when I was a teenager, and since then, I haven't liked myself. I feel like used merchandise. Today, you talked about God's love. I listened to the program over and over again, and I'm starting to realize that God doesn't see me that way. You see, that's what happens when you let the Holy Spirit take the Word of God and write it on your heart. So stop by at ChristianityWorks.com to listen to these messages. And if you'd like to receive God's Word every day, remember that you can have instant access to the Christianity Works daily video devotional called Fresh, words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to your smartphone, tablet, or computer each weekday. It's all about helping you to live out each and every day in the victory that Jesus came to give you. ChristianityWorks.com.
www.thebookshop.com. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.